Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ato Mahabhaga Bhavanamo Gadrik.
Ato Mahabhaga Bhavanamo Gadrik.
Shuchi Shravat Satyarato Dhritavrataha.
Shuchi Shravat Satyarato Dhritavrataha.
Udukramas Akila Bandha Mukta. Samadhina Nusmarata Dvijeshtita.
Samadhina Nusmarata Dvijeshtita.
Atto Mahabhaga Bhavana Mogadrik.
Atto Mahabhaga Bhavana Mogadrik.
Shuchi Shravat Satyarato Dhritavrata.
Shuchi Shravat Satyarato Dhritavrata.
Udukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye.
Udukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye.
Samadhina Nusmarata Dvicheshtita.
Samadhina Nusmarata Dvicheshtita.
Ato.
Ato.
Therefore, Mahabhaga,
Mahabhaga, highly fortunate,
Bhavan,
yourself,
Amoghadrik, the perfect seer, Shuchi,
spotless.
Shravaha,
famous.
Satyarataha,
Satyarataha,
having taken the vow of truthfulness. Dhritavrataha,
fixed in spiritual qualities.
Arukramasya,
Arukramasya,
of the one who performs supernatural activities. God. Akila, universal. Bandha,
bondage.
Muktaye,
for liberation from.
Samadhina.
By trance.
Anusmara.
Think repeatedly and then describe them.
Tadvicheshtita.
Various pastimes of the Lord.
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus, you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Purport. People in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown. But their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literatures contain different types of mundane poems and philosophical speculations. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. Thus, the attracted living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage without hope of liberation. For thousands and thousands of generations, Sri Narada Rishi, being the best among the Vaishnavas, is compassionate toward such unfortunate victims of worthless literature, which is not only literature. And thus he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compose transcendental literature, which is not only attractive, but can also bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in material activities. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel information every day. And the transcendentalists like Vyasadeva or Narada can supply such eager people, in general, with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is only part of the whole creation, and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world, and they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of the people in general for thousands and thousands of years. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. This is due to a spiritual vacuum in those literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literature, especially the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, are especially recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. The Bhagavad Gita is a spoken message of the Lord Himself, recorded by Vyasadeva. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Sri Krishna, who alone can satisfy the hankering desires of the living being for eternal peace and liberation from miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for all the living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives, who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord. Even if they speculate on the subject for many, many years, the descriptions of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now exactly happening. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present, and future. Such liberated persons as Vyasadeva are perfect not only by the power of vision and wisdom, but also in oral reception, in thinking, feeling, and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the senses, the sense proprietor, Rishikesha, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of the all-perfect personality of Godhead by the all-perfect personality, Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. Vyasadeva is being empowered by his guru. This is the transcendental use of language to empower, to create. There are different uses of language. Especially, originally, all language comes from the Vedas. The Vedas are the original transcendental sound. And we see in the Vedas themselves the different uses of language. We have four Vedas: Rig Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, and Yajur Veda. Yajur, Sama, Atharva, Rig. The Rig Veda is used in the sacrifice for honoring the various demigods. It serves a particular purpose in the sacrifice. We can say the Rig Veda priest, the Hota, is like the master of ceremonies, or like the butler in a rich man's house. At a party, many guests are invited. The butler, the master of ceremonies, will announce the guests and greet them and offer them all comforts. Like that, the Hota priest praises the demigods, invites them to join the sacrifice, and makes them feel comfortable, makes them feel welcome. This is the master of ceremonies. And a certain language is used. Rik mantra. Rich means worship. Language of praise. That's one Veda. The second Veda is also very important in the sacrifice. Because we're performing sacrifice on this earth, we have only material things to use. This was the problem in the beginning of creation. The demigods at the very beginning of creation wanted to perform sacrifice. But there was nothing manifest at the beginning of creation. Everything was only in potential form. The elements were there, but they had not combined to make things. So how are they going to perform sacrifice? So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu himself, from his own body, supplied the ingredients for the first sacrifice, as described in the Purusha Sutta. And in general, we have to perform sacrifice using whatever material objects are available. What is prescribed, like you have to use a clay pot, you have to use wood, metal, wooden spoon, golden and other metal utensils, and it specified exactly which metals, which wood, each thing should be made out of. But then these things have to be transformed. Not only do they have to be purified, they have to be transformed into transcendental objects in order to actually constitute the sacrifice. Just like the pot is made by a potter, the wood objects are carved by carpenters. These are low-class men, so the objects are contaminated. You have to sprinkle water and chant mantras to purify. That's what the purpose of Acharman. Now you sprinkle all the items you're going to offer before you offer them. Prokshaniyam. But more generally, the whole sacrifice has to be conjured up out of the material paraphernalia and in the material environment. So this is the purpose of the Yajurveda priest, the Advaryu. He's like sorcerer, magician, who rabbit out of a hat from nowhere. So also the Yajurveda priest, by chanting a mantra, turns ordinary things into spirit, into the transcendental paraphernalia of the sacrifice. A clay pot, just like any other clay pot bought in the market. Actually, it's supposed to be different. Slightly special shape. And the mantra is chanted, "Oh, you are the womb of Aditi. You are the womb of the earth," talking to the pot. So by chanting that, the Ayurveda priest transforms the item into something actually to be used in the sacrifice. And he creates the whole sacrifice environment by chanting the magical mantras of the Yajurveda, another use. And then Samaveda is music for entertaining the guests. Atharvaveda are special mantras for overcoming any obstacles, like white and black magic used to counteract evil influences. This is the language of the Atharvaveda. But with the Yajurveda mantra, and actually the Vaishnavas should consider themselves connected with the Yajurveda, in particular the Taittiriya Samhita. Although we're not coming in the Vedic tradition, our gurus and our fathers generally are not coming in the line of initiation, diksha, from the Vedas, maybe a few from Vedic families who actually have diksha or joining ISKCON. But most of us, most of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, don't have that Vedic connection. But still, we can consider ourselves, in a sense, connected with the Taittiriya Samhita of the Black Yajurveda. And especially in the Yajurveda, the language is used to create reality. Just like a judge is using language similarly in his official role in the court. He's telling a man, I sentence you to be hung until you're dead. May God have mercy on your soul. By saying those words, the man is dead. He's killing the man by saying those words. Well, the same judge presiding over a wedding can say, I now pronounce you man and wife. And the marriage is created legally and in fact by those words. The words create the reality. Similarly, when a guru, Vaishnav guru, gives instruction to the disciple, he is empowering him. He's making the disciple a person fit to carry out the instruction by giving the instruction. Vyasadev is getting the instruction from Narada. Samadhi na anusmana tad vicheshtitam. Now you sit in meditation and you think about the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. This is in preparation for the writing of Srimad Bhagavatam. The order is there and the power is in the order. Mystic language, magic use of language to create the reality. Vyasadeva is certainly fit to do this work. The guru is, in effect, empowering his disciple to also become guru. This is the potency of a real guru. A cheap guru will use his disciples just to take their money and establish himself as an important man. And disciples are useful for that purpose, for collecting money and power. That is a materialistic guru. A transcendental, a spiritual guru, his symptom is that he empowers his disciples to also become guru. That is a sign of a great acharya, that he makes more acharyas. And here, Narada is doing just that. And Vyasadeva, he's pointing out to Vyasadeva that you are qualified to do this work. This is the work of acharya, to write transcendental literature. And I'm asking you to do it, and I'm encouraging you by telling you that you have the qualifications. That's what this verse is talking about. Ato Mahabhaga, Bhuvana Mugadrik. So, O greatly fortunate one. What's his great fortune? He doesn't have any money in the bank. He only has a few disciples. He's sitting in a cave up in the mountains, cold Himalayas. What's his great fortune? His great fortune is that he's a pure servant of the personality of Godhead. And he's done already great work for the benefit of mankind to help establish, re-establish the principles of Dharma for this Kali Yuga. So that is greatly fortunate. To be engaged in the service of the Vaishnavas and to have actually done something useful for the mission of the Lord. Then you can be called Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. Not because you have so many crores in the bank and you've used 5 of those crores to build yourself a big mansion in Bangalore. Now, that is not great fortune. That's not how we measure it. We may be impressed that the man has spent 5 crores on his house. You know, and it may look very fancy, but that's not the sign of good fortune. Amogadri, because your vision is infallible. Amoga, never confused. You always see things correctly. Your vision is undistorted. Undistorted by lust, by envy, by greed, by ambition. You have a pure vision. I can empower you to become guru because you're not greedy and ambitious. Because you just want to serve. The one who becomes a perfect disciple, he can be a competent guru. That's the only thing. You want to be guru, you have to become a good disciple. Then you can become guru. That's all. That's all that's required. Shuchi Shrava, and your fame is pure. You're not just notorious, but you're famous for being good, not for being powerful, for being notorious. No. Shoot, you read in the newspaper about all the people with Ashuchi Shrava. Impure fame. All these politicians who are simply thieves and rascals. Greedy, selfish, inconsiderate of other people. Just out for power, no matter what it takes. This is Ashuchi Shrava, and their names are plastered all over the newspapers every day. And all we see is their ugly faces in the newspaper. This is Ashuchi Shrava. But Vyasadev, you should write this Bhagavatam. You should take the credit. You should be famous. Because your fame is pure. Satyarato. And that is because you are fixed in your vows. You're not a hypocrite. In any way, you're completely honest. When you feel some discrepancy in yourself, you come and you honestly admit it, as you've done now. You don't pretend to be what you're not. That's Satyarata. Fixed in your vows and completely honest. Actually, 2 words here. Satyarata. Dedicated to the truth and fixed in your vows. Dritta Vrata. So please, you have all the qualifications. Don't hesitate. Don't feel yourself unfit. No. Narada is telling Vyas, you just go ahead and compose the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sit in your meditation, prepare yourself, and then go ahead and write it. Sarva Vedanta Sadam Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadra Samrita Tripta Syananyatra Syatra Kitvati Kvachit. Srimad Bhagavatam is the most potent literature. It is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. So many books have been written on Vedanta. all the sampradayas, the Mayavad sampradaya, the Vaishnav sampradayas, they write, they have their commentaries and their commentaries on the commentaries and their debates back and forth. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all that discussion. And if you can experience the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you've cultivated that taste, you should not be interested in reading or hearing anything else anymore. Vyasadeva is the perfect guide, spiritual master for us in Kali Yuga. We claim Vyasadeva as our guru in disciplic succession. Through Madhva Muni, who went and took instruction from Vyasa and apparently took Diksha from him too. Is that, I don't know, he's supposed to have taken Diksha from Vyasa. We have our connection. Vyasadeva is our param guru in our disciplic succession. And all the Vaishnavas consider Vyasadeva their Shiksha guru. All the sages who are around in this modern age acknowledge Vyasadeva to be the first among all the sages. The only one greater than him is Narada, and Narada is not in the human race, he's a demigod, Deva Rishi. But among the Manusha Rishis, the human Rishis, Vyasadeva is the first. There are so many much older Rishis, but Vyasadeva is the first. And Vyasadeva's son, Parikshit, son Shukadeva, is even more respected as the pure, perfectly qualified speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So when, as pointed out by Srila Jiva Goswami, when Shukadev spoke to Parikshit the Bhagavatam, many sages came to hear. Yudhishthira, there was no announcement in the newspaper or on the radio the Bhagavatam, you know, Bhagavat Saptaha is being conducted by Shukadev. No billboards, boardings, plastering with Shukadev's face, you know, an announcement, you know, we will accept no money donations. Of course, you know, the whole thing is for money. Not that kind of Bhagavat Saptaha. There was no announcement. And still all these sages, over 24 sages, the greatest sages in the universe, knew just through their meditation that this was about to happen. They all came to that place. Hastinapur, on the bank of the Ganga. And they all sat at the feet of Shukadev, this 16-year-old boy who didn't even have initiation. But to speak of being authorized to be guru, he wasn't even initiated. And much younger than the rest of them. A nobody who had been just wandering around, hadn't done anything. Vagabond. And they all sat at his feet. Not only the great sages, but also his own father, Vyasadeva, his guru, and his guru's guru, Narada. Both of them were sitting at his feet to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how much respect is owed to Shukadeva. Gurum. Gurumuni nam. Yakswanu bhavam akila shuti saramekam adhyatma di pam atititiyushitam tamundam samsari nam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasa sunam upayami gurum muni nam. I am approaching to take shelter Shri Shukadeva Goswami, son of Bhadarayani Vyas, because he is the guru of all the great sages. Even his own guru and his guru's guru wanted to hear Bhagavatam sitting at his feet. Out of compassion for those who have some interest to get themselves out of the material suffering of Kali Yuga, for their benefit he spoke this most confidential of all the Puranas. That is the glory of Shukadeva. and the glory of Vyasadeva and the glory of Narada. So Vyasadeva is certainly fit to accept this empowerment to become guru of the whole world. We also have the responsibility. Prabhupada expects us to also follow in this line. Bhagavat parampara. It is not enough just to worship the deity. The grihasthas may have deity in their house. That is good for them. But they should also preach. Especially the sannyasis. It's not enough that they just become full-time pujaris. They should preach. Even down the street, the sannyasis, the paraya swami, must spend 6 hours a day. Between the two of them, they're spending several hours a day doing the puja, but they're also preaching, giving pravachans daily, at least normally they do, preaching, and then when they're not serving as paraya, then they're traveling and preaching. A sannyasi especially, his business is not just pancharatrika puja, but spreading the message of Godhead. And grihasthas also, and brahmacharis, should all be preaching. Prabhupada, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, quotes, I don't know the context, and I don't remember, but there's quoted in the narration, verse spoken by Sudama Vipra, Krishna's friend, who came to Dwarka on the request of his wife to meet Krishna and maybe get some benediction from him. Sudama, on the way home, he was meditating on his great good fortune to have met Krishna. Even though he was too embarrassed to ask for anything, still he's thinking how fortunate he was. Kvaham daridra papiyam kva krishna shriniketanaha Brahma-bhanduriti smaham bahubhyam uparambitaha. What am I? A niggardly beggar. And what is Krishna? The husband of the goddess of fortune. I'm just the unqualified member of a Brahmin family. And Krishna has embraced me with his own two arms. How fortunate I am. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that Sudama is thinking like this, himself unqualified. Actually, he's a very pure, elevated Brahman. We cannot think that we have any qualification like Krishna's friend Sudama. Especially those of us who were born in low class. I'm just paraphrasing Prabhupada's purport. Those who are born in the Western countries, we cannot claim any qualification like that. So, therefore, because we're not at all fit like Sudama, and look how unqualified he feels, and we're much less fit, therefore, we have no hope, no recourse, but to simply follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for our benefit. And then Prabhupada cites particular instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What do you think that is? Yare deko tahi koho Krishna upadesh. Amar agyai guru haya tare desh. Whoever you see, you tell him about Krishna. And in this way, you become guru and you save your own place. And that's Prabhupada's purport. Telling us, because we're totally unfit, we can't even call ourselves Brahma Bandhu, most of us. We're not even born in Brahmin families, and we're totally unqualified by our behavior and our character. Therefore, our only hope is to follow the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become guru, because we're totally unqualified. Anyway, that's Prabhupada's order. Just like Narada is ordered by Vyas, become guru, compose the Bhagavatam. We're being ordered, become guru, preach the Bhagavatam, distribute it,